Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Welcome to our episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This is the 240th episode. I appreciate you tuning in. Hope you're having a wonderful week, getting a chance to do something really creative. One of the things that comes up, and I see this over and over again in photography, I get asked this a lot in my workshops and my classes, but it's about the importance of storytelling or the narrative. Should every photograph tell a story? Should every photograph have a narrative? Is there a way to actually tell that narrative? And we talk a lot about photographers being storytellers. And I wanted to talk today a little bit about a couple of things that I've been thinking about and how we approach that notion of storytelling. And I don't think these are anything new and, you know, revolutionary. I think there are things in this podcast that photographers have pondered since the inception of photography. And that's in part because of how photography has been viewed or revered in history and in the arts, and kind of how photography has been assumed to be as an art form. And in part, that does relate to the narrative, which I'll get to in a second. So that notion of narration or storytelling and how important that is in the photograph. And that's one of the things we tell photographers to strive for, and we tell artists to strive for, is making sure that they, in fact, have something to say, something important to say, and make sure they put that into the photograph. However, I want to turn that on its ear a little bit today, because I think there's an angle on this or an approach or something that we don't discuss enough in photography and in photography circles that you do find in a lot of other art conversations, but in photography, I do find it to be a little missing. One of those things is the notion of a narrative or a story, and the difference between kind of a more scientific approach or mathematical approach or exacting approach and what I think probably would consider a fictional approach or their narration approach. And that's the notion of a fact or what is true. In a scientific process and a scientific principle, if you have a theory you've proposed or a theorem you've proposed and you go out and you either prove or disprove that, we establish a fact. And if new information is presented, those facts will change. So if we take the idea that the sun revolves around the earth and then later learn through observation and research that the earth revolves around the sun, we accept that new fact as true and we disregard the old fact and let it go. However, with a narrative, we don't necessarily do that. Sometimes a narration, we continue to romanticize the notion of the fact that was there before, or we attempt to incorporate it and explain the evolution of the fact, but we don't always just outright dismiss it and move forward. So the narration element, the non-science element of storytelling, does somehow hold on to its notion of what was true or not true. And the reason I think this is so important to photography is actually a quote by Gary Winograd. And when asked about his photographs, he always had great statements such as he photographs things just to see what they look like when they're photographed and that the responsibility of meaning is on the viewer. But one of the quotes he has is that a photograph, when it's made, becomes a new fact. So it becomes something new in the narrative. It becomes a new point of conversation, a new point of truth in the way the story is told. And from that, I got to really thinking about, are we having the correct conversation when we tell people to become storytellers and make sure that they have narratives within their photographs? Because what we're asking the creator to do is to examine the world, observe something, and then establish a new fact. A new truth, even if it is just for them as the creator, it's a truth that they provide us to then observe somehow through the photograph or through the medium of whatever they print. The challenge becomes we have become somewhat cynical because of the inundation of things being photoshopped or manipulated, and that sometimes, and this is the most important part, I think, not all photographs have their narrative necessarily built into them. This is one of the reasons why captioning and titling becomes critical, because sometimes you might take a beautiful landscape and it might be compositionally a strong photograph and it might be a beautiful photograph, but what it appears to be on the surface is nothing more than a beautiful landscape. But then if you learn that it's the landscape of, say, the last massacre of a Native American tribe in North America by the U.S. Army. So all of a sudden that landscape, due to the captioning, due to the title that was presented, provides some additional context for us to understand the photograph. The meaning, the narrative, is not directly tied to the elements within the photograph, but they're tied to the information that surrounds the photograph. So many times I think photographers go and they try to make sure that they make the photograph hold the narrative. But in many cases, there's an opportunity there to actually segment the work. And maybe sometimes we do need the photograph to hold the narrative. I think a lot of documentary type photography is that way. Street photography is that way. A lot of even landscape or wildlife photography might be that way. They hold gesture, moment, and elements together that allow the narrative to unfold. They allow us as a viewer to step inside that photograph and observe and create a narrative of our own, a story of our own, or grasp and understand the narrative story that the photographer was creating. But on that other side, an interesting photograph without the context of our knowledge and our ability to create the story might require that additional information. And so that's one of the things I've started to encourage people who are working on their photographs to do is spend the time to write titles and informative titles about the work and about the narrative that the photographer has. And if you decide that the purpose of your photographs, the purpose of your project you're working on is something that is beyond just the compositional elements within the photograph, but those are representative of a larger issue or a larger concern or a larger story you're telling, you may need to provide that information outside the context of the photograph. Because sometimes we are limited by what the photograph is able to tell due to the nature of the time-boundness of photography. So if you're attempting to tell your experience of something out of the past through photography without going through a reenactment recreation, how would you show something that is in the past, because photographs and photography capture slices of time in the present. Now, they may extend or compress that, but we can't go back in time and recreate that. And we can anticipate what might happen in the future and be in the best position possible to create that photograph, but we're bound by a certain set of time rules. So if we were going to go tell that story as the impact of the land, the impact of the environment, the impact of the person, how would we go about doing that? And how would we make sure we could convey that? Again, that's through language. So the notion of the photograph standing alone is not entirely accurate. In many ways, all photographs become a form of mixed media. When we add in the language of the title, the signature, the position of the signature, the caption that might go with it, the narrative, the introduction of a book, the project statement, all of those things become additional points of information to help us understand how we get to a shared meaning, whether it be explicitly stated and obvious through the photograph or implicitly stated and implied in the photograph and in the language. But we move to that commonality by sharing in our understanding of the work. I think too many times when we set out to create photographs, we get so enamored with all of the technical things at the beginning. Then we get enamored with making sure that our style is presented and we are telling the photographs in the way we want to tell them. And then we get stuck behind this notion of storytelling and narrative. And it's because we're binding ourselves into an artificial constraint. If you go back and look at some of the most amazing photographs, some of the most amazing things in history, you may not necessarily understand the context, but you appreciate the photograph. You can appreciate it, like I said, just for compositional beauty, for color beauty, for structural beauty. You may also appreciate what it represents as an element of the narrative. Joel Sternfeld has an amazing book titled On This Site, where he went and photographed the locations of the significant crimes that he could remember in his life. And so it's not of the actual crime, but it's of a location that was in a news story or in a newspaper article he had read that had some influence on him as he remembered these events. So as he went to record those without that context, you just have a random collection of photographs from an office building, a park, a building, a burned down restaurant, whatever it is, we lack that context. So getting that context really helps us understand those photographs, even though on the surface, they may not seem significant or important. As you create your own narratives, I think that's one of the things to think about. And one of the challenges is, how much do you want to convey in the photograph? How much do you want to rely on the viewer to overlay into the photograph? How do you want to create that shared meaning? And should you provide that additional context and information? For so many people, I think photographs they take, and let's assume they're good photographs. The quality of the composition meets the minimum bar, meets the quality bar we would need. As we get into those photographs, what is it that you are trying to say, and how important is it that it be explicitly stated? Without that combination of understanding, I think we end up creating beautiful photographs and we don't understand why people can't connect with them. Or we try to make the photograph sort of, I don't know, cliche or cheeky in its approach. So it comes off more as a abstract attempt at something rather than something of significance and importance. So as you work through your own process, being able to distinguish what is going to be compositionally beautiful but have a meaning that needs to be provided through some other form, whether it be spoken or written language, or is it in the narrative of the photograph itself where we build that? My guess is in most cases, photographers need to do both. You need to have the beautiful photograph, and at other times you need the photograph that can stand on its own. But limiting yourself to try to make it all about one versus the other, I think limits your approach and the ability of what you're able to do. It's what prevents you from getting to make photographs that are in a subtext, where a draped over tulip, such as André Cortez photographed, implies a impending death or the end of life or a melancholy approach, even though we don't necessarily know what the context was for the photograph, we can get that from the photograph. We can make that assumption from the photograph, from the narrative, even without a title, even without the information. And yet, on the opposite side, maybe you have a really strong composition of a simple, beautiful portrait of somebody, and without having the context of who they are and what they've gone through and why the portrait was made, we may out of hand dismiss it. So the responsibility is not explicitly on the viewer to be able to build the narrative and make the assumption. It's the responsibility of both parties, the viewer and the photographer, to build that relationship. And I think that's the thing you should focus on moving forward as you think about your narratives, is how can you make sure you're providing the best of the information to the viewer so that you can create that shared meaning. I hope you have a great week. Get a chance to get out there and make some amazing photographs, do something really cool and exciting. Maybe turn your camera upside down, shoot everything upside down for a day. Who knows what might happen there? I guarantee you it's going to be a hard time pushing the shutter if you try it because it's on the wrong side. But other than that, I hope you have a great week. Don't forget, you can always find us upon iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and all the places podcasts are found. And I will see you next time.